Okay, my friends. So today we are on our way to Christmas, aren't we? Yeah, little bit by little bit, we're getting closer and closer and closer. And so in America, it is winter and the snow is upon us and it is cold and frosty and frozen outside. And I have got the perfect story for you today. If you think that snow is amazing and you know a little bit about photography, you're going to love this story. The name of the story is Snowflake Bentley. It's by Jacqueline Briggs Martin and illustrated by Mary Azarian. And it's read today by Mommy and... got a name? He has a tapping on his teacup because we are having... apple cider while we listen to the story. Can you give us your name, Mr. Teacup Man? Oh, he's smacking his lips together. I like it. Well, it's nice to meet you. I hope you enjoy.
You spell that P-O-P-O-P-O.
Oh, the correct pronunciation and spelling of his name is Popo Popo. For the record. And I am delighted to read this story to you today. So buckle up, snuggle in, and here we go. Although, may I recommend that we not bang our cup? Let's use this spoon right here because it doesn't make as much noise, okay? Thank you. Our friends who are listening... but it's okay. Our friends who are listening probably will want to know what kind of drink you're drinking, and they'll get distracted by that and they'll miss the interesting part of the story. So we're trying to be good friends, conscientious hosts. Okay, here we go. Snowflake Bentley. In the days when farmers worked with ox and sled and cut to the dark with lantern light, there lived a boy who loved snow more than anything else in the world. More than chocolate? Oh my goodness. Wilson Bentley was born February 9th, 1865, on a farm in Jericho, Vermont, between Lake Champlain and Mount Mansfield, in the heart of the snow belt, where the annual snowfall is about 120 inches. That is to say, he was born in a place where it's very cold and it snows a lot. Now, Willie Bentley's happiest days were snowstorm days. He watched snowflakes fall on his mittens, on the dried grass of Vermont farm fields, on the dark metal handle of the barn door. He said snow was as beautiful as butterflies or apple blossoms. He could net butterflies and show them to his older brother, Charlie. Do you know what it means to net a butterfly? Mm-mm. It means to take a butterfly net and go and capture the butterfly and keep it in your net. He could pick apple blossoms and take them to his mother. What a nice gift. But he could not share snowflakes because he couldn't save them. Now, Willie's mother was his teacher until he was 14 years old, which means that he was homeschooled. And he attended school for only a few years. She had a set of encyclopedias, Willie said, and I read them all. Now, when his mother gave him an old microscope, he used to look at flowers and raindrops and blades of glass. Best of all, he used it to look at snow. While other children built forts and pelted snowballs at the roosting crows, Willie was catching single snowflakes. Day after stormy day, he studied the ice crystals, because that's what a snowflake is. Did you know that? From his boyhood on, he studied all forms of moisture. He kept a record of the weather.
You can eat ice?
Mm-hmm. And did many experiments with raindrops.
So that means you can eat snow?
Mm-hmm. He learned that most crystals had 6 branches, though a few had 3. And for each snowflake, the 6 branches were alike. I found that snowflakes were masterpieces of design, he said. No one design was ever repeated. And when a snowflake melted, just that much beauty was gone without leaving any record behind. And their intricate patterns were even more beautiful than he had imagined. He expected to find whole flakes that were all the same and copies of each other, but he never did. Willie decided that he must find a way to save snowflakes so others could see their wonderful designs. So for 3 years, he tried drawing snow crystals, but they always melted before he could finish.
What always melted?
The tiny little bits of snow. So starting at age 15, he drew 100 snow crystals each winter for 3 winters. That's a lot of snow crystals. And when he was 16, Willie read of a camera with its own microscope. If I had that camera, I could photograph snowflakes, he said to his mother. Now, Willie's mother knew he would not be happy until he could share what he had seen.
Fussing with snow is just foolishness, his father said,
but still, he loved his son. So when Willie was 17, his parents spent their savings and bought the camera. And look what happened. The camera made images on large glass negatives. Its microscope could magnify, which means to make large, a tiny crystal from 64 to 3,600 times its actual size. So what it could do, imagine if you will, having something the size of your little pinky. And imagine making it the size of your car.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's what this camera would do. So you know how small a snowflake is, right? They're super, super tiny. You could fit one on your fingernail. No problem. Imagine then looking at one the size of your dining room table.
Or the size of your house.
That's huge, isn't it? So look at this camera.
The size of your house is 388 cars.
You think? Well, maybe.
388 Teslas.
Oh, Teslas. That's a very fancy house.
And 2 trailers.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting because some houses are very big and some houses are very small. Some houses are actually, you know, this is funny. Side note, some houses are the size of a car because they are.
A car?
Mm-hmm. Some people convert their cars into houses. I've seen it. So, friends, I'm going to explain what this camera looks like. And I'll post pictures of it on my Instagram. So if you're following us on Instagram, you'll see what this looks like. It was taller than a newborn calf, and it cost as much as his father's entire herd of 10 cows. Willie was sure it was the best of all cameras. Even so, his first pictures were failures, no better than shadows. Yet he would not quit. Mistake by mistake, snowflake by snowflake, Willie worked through every storm. Winter ended, the snow melted, and he had no good pictures. But do you think he gave up?
No.
No. Because when we make mistakes and when we have a failure and when things don't work out, do you know what that is?
What?
An opportunity for you to try again. Every time you fail, it's a great thing because it means you get to try again.
But what happens if you have to wait 100 million weeks?
Well, guess what? That's exactly what happens. He waited for another season of snow, and one day, in the second winter, he tried a new experiment. And guess what? It worked. Willie had figured out how to photograph snowflakes. Now everyone can see the great beauty in a tiny crystal, he said. Now Willie's experiment, what he did is he used a very small lens opening, which let in only a little bit of light, okay? So it reached the negative, but he kept the lens open for several seconds, up to a minute and a half. And he learned, too, that he could make the snow crystals show up more clearly by using a sharp knife to cut away all the dark parts of the negative around the crystals. And this meant etching and extra hours of work for each photograph. But I don't think Willie minded. Do you? But in those days, no one cared. Neighbors laughed at the idea of photographing snow.
Snow in Vermont is as common as dirt, they said.
We don't need pictures.
Willie said the photographs would be his gift to the world. So while other farmers sat by their fire or rode to town with horse and sleigh, Willie studied snowstorms. He stood at the back shed door and held out a black tray to catch the flakes. When he found out only jumbled broken crystals, he brushed the tray clean with a turkey feather and then he held it out again. And he waited hours for just the right crystal and didn't notice the cold. I don't think the cold bothered him. He's like Elsa.
Cold never bothers me.
Yeah, anyway. So if he breathed on the black tray, the snow would melt. If he twitched a muscle as he held the snow crystal on the long wooden pick, the snowflake would break. He had to work fast, or the snowflake would evaporate before he could slide it into place and take its picture. Some winters, he was able to make only a few dozen good pictures, and then some winters, he made hundreds. Willie loved the beauty of nature, so he took pictures in all seasons. In the summer, his nieces and nephews rubbed coat hangers with sticky pitch from spruce trees, and then Willie could use them to pick up spider webs jeweled with water drops to take their pictures. That makes me think of raindrops on roses.
And green sunset.
On fall nights, he would gently tie a grasshopper to a flower so he could find it in the morning and photograph a new dew-covered insect. At least he made them comfortable. But his snow crystal pictures were always his favorite. He gave copies away or sold them for a few cents. He made special pictures as gifts for birthdays. He held evening slideshows on the lawns of his friends, and children and adults sat on the grass and watched while Willie projected his slides onto a sheet hung over a clothesline, kind of like when we watch movies in the backyard. Now, many colleges and universities bought lantern slide copies of his photographs and added them to their collections each year. And artists and designers used the photographs to inspire their own work. And he wrote about snow and published his pictures in magazines. And he gave speeches about snow to faraway scholars and neighborhood sky watchers.
"You are doing a great work," said a professor
from Wisconsin. The little farmer came to be known as the world's expert on snow,
the Snowflake Man.
But he never grew rich. He spent every penny on his pictures. Willie said that there were treasures in snow.
"I can't afford to miss a single snowstorm," he told a friend. "I never know when I will find some wonderful prize."
So other scientists raised money so Willie could gather his best photographs in a book. When he was 66 years old, Willie's book, His Gift to the World, was published. And still, he was not ready to quit. Even today, those who want to learn about snow crystals begin with Wilson Bentley's book, Snow Crystals. And by 1926, he had spent $15,000 on his work and only received $4,000 from the sales of photograph and slides. But you know what I think? I think that if it's something that you really love to do, you don't do it for the money. You do it because you love it. Now let's see. Less than a month after turning the first page on his book, Willie walked 6 miles home in a blizzard to take more pictures. He became ill with pneumonia after that walk and died 2 weeks later. Oh, how sad. Yeah, well, that's why we don't go outside in blizzards. Now, the monument was built for Willie in the center of his town, and the girls and the boys who'd been his neighbors grew up and told their sons and daughters the story about the man who had loved snow. And 40 years after Wilson Bentley's death, children in his village worked to set up a museum in honor of the farmer scientist. And his book has taken the delicate snow crystals that once blew across Vermont, past mountains, over the earth, and neighbors and strangers have come to know of the icy wonders that land on their own mittens, thanks to Snowflake Bentley. And what a beautiful story about how important it is to take pictures and to capture those special moments and to see the beauty in the world around us, especially during this time of year. And I think you should challenge yourself to make a snowflake. What do you think? You want to get some paper and cut one out? We could put them in the hallway. I like it. And that, my friends, is
the end.
The end.